He had a great passion for the GAA, and that came through very much in his writing. And we'll be sad to see him go, because when you get to know a person after a number of years, you get to you probably let down the guard, if you like, over some reports when you're not sure of them initially. And he was very fair-minded, and he was very fair in Kerry players. And I must say that you know, I would wish him very well in his retirement, and I hope that he continues to enjoy the game, and at least he can sit back and watch now without having to get it down on paper, I suppose. And best wishes to him, really.
Well, that's Maurice Fitzgerald there playing best wishes to you, Eamon, to Eamon Horan. Well, there's loads of tributes after pouring in for the man. Let's go first of all to the Munster Badminton Association, because they say, dear Wishy, on behalf of the Kerry Badminton Association, I would like to congratulate Eamon Horan on this special most deserving tribute being paid to him on in Terrace Talk. Whilst the GAA are the closest to his heart of most Kerry people, I would sincerely like to thank both Eamon and John Barry for the great coverage they have given to the badminton and other sports. Without a doubt, Eamon's eagerly looked forward to, and his reports with a beautiful flow of words will be sadly missed. And that comes from Juno Griffin, the chairman of the PRO Kerry Badminton Association. And we go to board Pele Kiri Huig. It says, Wishy, Radio Kerry, may we at this stage take the opportunity congratulating Eamon on a most successful career with the Kerry men. The many years of your dedicated service to the Kerry men will not easily be forgotten by readers from all over the county, and indeed further afield. Indeed, here in Kerry, we used to delight in Eamon's analysis of pre-match and match reporting. Indeed, we were privileged to have him at our senior championship final last year. I could be going on and go on. Now, that comes from the North Kerry board, Eamon. You spend a lot of time up in the North Kerry board direction, and that comes from Jack Hennessy. And we'll be going on as the evening goes on. We'll get through a few more of these here, Eamon, before we start talking about your own career. And this comes from the East Kerry board. Best wishes to Eamon on his retirement. Looking forward to have more colourful reports in the future. That comes from the East Kerry board. Eamon, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Richard. A little bit behind the schedule, sorry.
But listen to me, I'd be disappointed if you weren't a little bit behind schedule. I tell you why, your own daughter, which we'll hear later on, she says, the one thing about my dad, she says, he was always late for trains. Well, I can tell you, Clara, I said, he is often late for matches too. Yeah. Eamon, you're very welcome.
Thank
to
you, Wishy. Pleasure
now,
to be here.
And listen to me, how is retirement?
Well, I have scarcely got used to it, yes, I'll be quite honest. So we'll have to wait a little while longer to give a proper analysis on that one.
Eamon, how long are the Kerry men? Listen, talk to us about yourself first, where you were born and things like that, and how long you were in the Kerry men.
Oh, well, as you probably know, I'm a Tralee man. Born in Bridge Street, which was the street of a few great footballers. I think I told you previously. Jack Murphy, who captained Kerry in 53.
Incidentally, interrupting you, who'll be our guest in studio next week? Jazz Murphy.
Oh,
he's coming down for a wedding for the weekend, has agreed to stay on. Now that you're mentioning his name, Jazz Murphy will be here next week. Away with you, Eamon.
That's wonderful, because
isn't it now?
Jazz is one of nature's gentlemen. A next-door neighbour of mine when I was a kid. Then he went away in the Garda Síochána. And he's been in Cork for years. He played for Bob at Cork before he decided to throw in his lap with Kerry back in the 53, which was a great omen for Kerry football. He was made captain for the final in 53 against Armagh and brought the Sam Maguire back to Bridge Street.
Yeah.
So that was a particularly famous night in the small street like Bridge Street.
Yeah.
When Jazz came back with the cup.
He was one of the great men you grew up with.
And 2 years later then, the late John Dowling brought it back again to his shoe store across the road. So that was some achievement for two Sleeman.
Yeah, and Eamon, of course, your own career in sport, and you didn't play the football as good as you played the handball. Now, talk to us about how many All-Irelands did you win?
Oh, in handball, well, I played up to minor mostly and played 1 year junior, but won 4 All-Ireland minor championships. That was between 53 and 54, and won All-Ireland colleges in 55 with the Tralee CBS. I think it was Tim Lean, Tiger, better known as from Ballymac, who was my partner in the 55 final. We beat Loughrea CBS in the final. I'm trying to get confused. The year before, we were beaten in the final by Loughrea, and I think it was Michael Lade, who was my partner then. There were two Ballymac men. So if I'm getting that wrong, I hope they'll understand, but I think I have it right this time.
Eamon, the night of your retirement here in Tralee, the Kerryman through the night field, John Barry paid a lovely tribute to you on the night. He mentioned about your father, that he went out farming and things. How talk to us about your dad.
Oh, well, I take it that's when my father went out to fight in the Spanish Civil War in 1936 on the side of General Franco with members of the Irish Brigade, at which there were quite a lot of Kerry people, and particularly Tralee people, went with him that time. I think they spent about a year roughly out there, you know. So that was after his involvement with the War of Independence, you know. So he actually went to Spain the year I was born. So.
Was your mother a Tralee woman, Eamon?
My mother came from the Corran side, Baron Four. Her relations are still there in Riverville, which is near Marshall's Bridge. Dennis Cronin, his wife. So I'd like to say hello to them, you know.
Certainly.
They'd be my first cousins.
Yeah. Eamon, growing up then, was it always going to be journalism?
Not really. I mean, I never planned it as such, you know. But I don't know. It seemed to happen eventually. Because after leaving school, I spent a year or so with the late Des O'Hara, a vet, gleeman, deceased, and his father, Tom O'Hara, who was also a vet. That time, the TB testing of cattle was in a big way in the country. So for that whole year or so, I saw a lot of farmyards around the county with Des.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, it just came to happen that I took a liking, maybe, because I was always reading papers, you know, the famous football Kerry teams and that. You'd read avidly and cut out the pictures, photographs out of the paper, paste them in an old scrapbook, you know.
Yeah.
So I eventually applied to the Kerryman, and there wasn't any vacancy right then, but I was told by the late Dan Nolan, who was the managing director of the day, you know, to do a course in shorthand and typing, which I did in the old technical school in Motherwell with the late Chubby O'Keefe, who was the teacher then.
Yeah.
So I did night classes there for about a year, and one of the people attending then was the late Ty Crowley of the Kerry County Board of Fame.
Nice man, Ty.
Who taught me in the Green School.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after a year, I got a call, and in 1957, I started with the Kerryman. So that was the start of my journalistic career.
And you worked on the Seamus MacConville?
Oh, I did, yeah. Seamus MacConville actually came to the Kerryman. I joined, I think it was in April of 57, and Seamus MacConville came to the Kerryman in August of that year, having come from Dublin, because yeah, he worked with the Irish News Agency before that.
Yeah. Was he editor then?
No, not then. He would have been news editor. The editor, when I came there, was a man who died within the last year or so, Tom Dunn, Tomás O'Dean. He was a great man for the Irish language. Not sure what county, I think he was Wexford.
Yeah.
But he was there for a short period. Then the late Con Casey, the yeah, unique Con Casey, one of nature's gentlemen, was editor.
Yeah.
And until he retired late in his life. And then Seamus MacConville came on board as editor.
How long was Seamus with the Kerryman? Roughly, Eamon?
Well, Seamus was with the Kerryman from 57 until he retired officially, like about 3 years back, I'd
Say. Listen to me, I caught up to him tonight at Jude here in Tralee. Listen to me, we'd have a listen to what he thought of Eamon Horan. Here we are, Seamus MacConville. You go back a long time.
Yeah, actually, Eamon joined the Kerryman about 4 months before I arrived here in 57. And Eamon was a small, quiet man in those days, hiding an explosive talent, which Con Casey told me about. Con Casey was then the editor. This little fellow over in the corner, a quiet man over in the corner, was after winning, I think, 4 All-Ireland handball finals at the time. Eamon didn't talk much about him, but anyway, he was a champion. He was one of these Kerry people who wore their medals very modestly. But as a journalist, he was an old style craftsman, good man with the words, and was careful with his words, and he told the story clearly and colourfully.
Seamus, why was he such a great journalist?
Well, I suppose because he was meticulous when it came to detail, and I suppose that's what made him trustworthy. You trusted what he read, and he didn't manufacture the facts.
The Kerryman had PF, as we know him, before him, and then John Barry came on, and then Eamon came on. Likes of those people, they're unique now, aren't they?
They are, of course. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, in the history of the Kerryman, which is almost 100 years old, on one hand you can count the number of people who have been writing about Kerry sport, and then Kerry football over those years. Paddy Foley in the first instance. You had John Barrett, now deceased, God rest him, and you had Eamon and then John Barry. That is the four people in a century.
In your travels around now, Seamus and Kerry and Munster and everything, how was Eamon Horan? How was he remembered by people?
Well, I would say he'd be remembered for number one, for the accuracy of his reportage. I would say he'd be remembered for his quiet courtesy to other people. And he was, I think that's important in any journalist, to have respect for other people, and Eamon always had that.
That was Seamus McConville there, Eamon. Eamon, he mentioned in the course of the year, he mentioned about PF and John Barry. Did you know those two men?
Oh God, I knew them intimately well, I suppose you could say, because PF was the father figure of the era.
Yeah.
Because when I joined the Kerryman in those days, I used to go to the matches with him, kind of just as his assistant, but I wasn't writing on the matches as such for quite a few, maybe two or three years, you know.
You covered a huge period in the Kerryman, didn't you?
Oh, I did. He was going way back, like, to the 20s. Originally, he was a school teacher. He came from Dingle, Dangany Cush, but an absolute gentleman, but kind of spellbinding to be with him, you know, in those days, yeah, because he was like a folklorist in his own way, but he had his own unique style, you know.
Was he mad football like you? Was he into the football like yourself in a huge way? Was that his sport?
I'd say immersed in it far greater, if that's possible, because he was a former Kerry County selector as well, you know.
Yeah.
And he was regarded as the doyen of the writers of his era.
And you knew John Barrett after?
Oh, John Barrett, yeah, who was an absolute super journalist. One of the best I've ever come across in my time. Super. Facile writer. Yeah. Brilliant style, unique. And he did an awful lot for Kerry GAA in his day.
Yeah, when I came across a small little piece by PF there, he wrote after the 1937 replay against Cavan, I think he sums up the spirit of Kerry, which you could do later on for us. And this is what he says. He says, "For many poor homes on the fringes of the Atlantic came enthusiasts to travel by the ghost train from Tralee and Killarney, then the night journey across country to Dublin, later the long weary wait until the game started. What other county has such a parallel to offer? The lengthy train journeys, the terrible inconveniences. Such is the atmosphere in which our All-Ireland boys are nurtured." And he finishes up and he says, "The spirit which makes Kerry indomitable."
Yeah, that summarizes it, I'd say. Even though, as such, I never actually travelled on the ghost train, as such, because my early years going to matches in Croke Park, I was usually playing handball, which would coincide with a few of those matches, including the 1953 final. We were playing handball in the old depot in Phoenix Park that morning. Moss O'Connor and I in the minor final, in which we'd be two extra guys, you know. So then we went along to the football final after. So we would have travelled by car with other handballers, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't have the unique privilege of going in the ghost trains, but I've met many people down the years, and the legends have grown up with us.
Well, we're talking to Eamon Horan, because I'm not talking to myself, but we're here until 7:30, 066-712-3666. If you want to get in your comments now, there are two vouchers for £60. Our producer Paul Sheehan will be picking out the most apt description of Eamon Horan, and we'll give two vouchers next week and that, just before we go there. And of course, we won't get in only a fraction of what we want to. This is from Owen McCrohan, a writer yourself with the Kerryman Owen, and
well,
he says, "For roughly 40 years, Eamon Horan's delightful prose in the Kerryman was as constant and as reassuring as the priest on the altar at Sunday Mass. He will be greatly missed, and I would like to wish him good health and contentment during his many years of retirement." That comes from the great Owen McCrohan. 066-712-3666. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
On the field with Terrace Talk. Thanks to Quills Menswear Killarney, Kenmare and Patrick Street, Cork. you're on the field with Terrace Talk. Thanks to Quills Menswear Killarney, Kenmare and Patrick Street Cork.
Yeah, and we're back again, and just before we go to the comment line, we have someone to talk to. We were talking about Jez Murphy. Well, he says he sends you best wishes, and he says, I hope that Eamon has a happy retirement, and of course we'll see Jez next week. Congratulations, from Liam Cotter. He says, thanks to Eamon for all the years of dedicated service given to the GA in the county, and best wishes in the future. But continue your involvement in the reporting, says that man Liam Cotter. Owen the Bomber Liston says of Eamon Horan, after all Ireland's finals and semi-finals, coming down in the train, the crack was always mighty. A pleasure to be in his company. He never passed a derogatory remark about anyone. We always read the reports with great interest as the Bomber. He was a credit to his profession, and I look forward to meeting him, and I wish him all the best, and we'll have a few jars together some night, says the Bomber. No doubt he will, Eamon.
Hopefully.
We won't start talking about their powers. Padraig O'Brien, former, listen to this. Padraig O'Brien, the former Irish Press, and now the Sun. Eamon, do you remember the nights in the White Horse of Mulligan's? The great sing song and the crack. You're laughing at that, Eamon. The record for the walk from the sports desk in the Irish Press to the White Horse for a bottle of stout and a small paddy and back is 1 minute and 11 seconds.
Heather should know.
And it's held by the late Dermot Flynn. And he says, happy retirement, Eamon. Uh-huh. Happy. And finally, Ogie Moran says, Eamon, very pleasant memories, very warm, very courteous person, always saw the good side of players, always had a kind word. I have nothing but fond memories of him. I wish him well in his retirement. That's the great Ogie Moran, who won all his All-Ireland medals in the one position. Eamon, we're going to the comment line. Padraig Kennelly, he of the Kerry's Eye. Padraig, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Wishy.
And
congratulations, Eamon.
Thank you, Padraig.
This man
nice
has a great love
again.
For Kerry.
Sorry?
This man has a great love for Kerry, Padraig.
I know that.
Right with you.
Why he here?
Yeah. Yeah. Why has he such a great love for the county, would you say, Padraig?
Well, it's easy to know to have a love for the county. Most Kerry people have. But a lot of them have to fight very hard to keep their feet in the county and to make their living here. And Eamon did that. Partly, I think, because when he left school, Kerry was in a great sporting era. John Dowding had won the 1955 All-Ireland. Gene Mangan had won the Ross Tarleton. And this county had no tradition in road cycling. Chubb Connor had won the National Greyhound Derby with Spanish Battleship. And Jim O'Brien and Paddy Downey won the All-Ireland double handball titles that year.
Yeah.
Paddy Downey collected 17 All-Ireland medals in all in his career. And the pair of them won 7 All-Ireland doubles. And in that year as well, Paddy Downey's younger brother Dennis won the All-Ireland doubles minor title with Eamon Horan.
So it was a great era, really, wasn't it, Paddy?
It was really a great era for sports. So, I mean, if you're looking around for things to do, sport journalism was an obvious one.
Now, you stayed with him in New York, the Kerry Cavan game. Any bits of story?
That was a marvellous opportunity for us in 97. And we enjoyed not only the match, but meeting all the Kerry Gaels out there. And as well, we managed to get to Gallagher's great steakhouse and have some luscious steaks, the like of which we wouldn't get at home.
Padraig Kennelly, how would you sum up Eamon Horan?
Oh, that's hard to say. I'd sum him up as a man who, if he's interviewing somebody, he'd remain silent and let the interviewee talker. He was a most friendly person, well-loved by everybody. He never had a car, but was always a welcome passenger, an amazing thing for a journalist in this day and age. And I think that he has a long future in front of him.
No, Eamon.
May I say thanks, Padraig, for those very gracious remarks. But your reference to our New York trip brings a bit of mirth to me anyway, because if you recall, when we were parting company that afternoon, having eaten our lovely food and that, and you were saying to me, are you sure you know how to get back to your hotel, etc.? But you said, look, you had typed up in a little card for me. A lot of people would know that I have the worst sense of direction of all time, so you could imagine what I was like in massive New York. I spent about 2 hours walking around a couple of blocks and I was still back in square one.
Yeah, but I think it was the blind leading the blind.
Padraig, thank you for joining us.
Okay, best of luck.
Thanks again, Padraig.
Thanks, that's Padraig Kennelly. The Kerry's idea now, we're going from here, we're going out to the Sligo Club because there's one legend out there, a legend in golf, his name is Arnold Palmer. We're not going talking to him, but we're going talking to another legend, a legend you know well, John Barry. John Barry, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Weish.
Now, John, have you got over the retirement of Eamon? Do you miss him around? Talk to us about your memories.
Well, I suppose, first of all, let me say, out here in Barrow tonight, I'm in the presence of a man who's a worldwide legend. You have there, in your presence,
easy now,
a man who is an even greater legend
easy
within
now,
the confines of the county of Kerry, without any shadow of a doubt.
Right?
Right. I suppose, when you talk about Eamon, you are truly talking about a legend, and in fact, I suppose, as a man who was a colleague of his for 40 years, a long time, and who's somebody who worked hand-in-hand with him on a daily basis, I just have to say that I have enormous respect for the man. I suppose together we shared an extraordinary journey in Kerry sport, and just when you think about it, when I first linked up with Eamon Horan, I won't say what year, Kerry had won just 18 All-Ireland Senior Football titles. I mean, you think about it, they've almost twice that today.
And I think, John, that you might get together and finish that book and bring it up to date now that he's retired.
I think the county board did a good job there recently on that.
Yeah. John, sum him up for us before you go back to that other legend, from one legend to the other. Sum up Eamon Horan now for us.
Well,
he did it already. He did it already, Wishy.
You continue there, Wishy, that we brought out a special tabloid on Eamon.
Beautiful tabloid.
An 8-page tabloid, and any man that merited that had to be somebody special. And in the course of one of the articles by Seamus McConville, I think there was a very good story about Eamon working as an assistant to a veterinary surgeon. And maybe his colleague might have been there, only the problem was when the cow was about to calve, some blood appeared, and Eamon, absolutely, what did he do?
Fainted, yeah.
He collapsed.
Passed out.
So, maybe it was a lucky omen that he didn't like the sight of blood and joined the Kerryman, I think around 1957.
You might be, before John goes, must know, you might, what age is John Barry?
Well, I mean, that's one of the great imponderables. We've been trying to find that out for more than a score, 30 years, we're still no wiser, but somebody might reveal the full story sometime.
John, thanks for joining us.
We see, before you go, the last time you brought up that age subject, I think I won 2-1. And I will repeat what I said that night, that Eamon is, I think, he got 2 extensions on his retirement.
Yeah.
And they've actually lost the record. Even though I did say 1957, I was being kind to him there. I think you could go back at least another 10 years.
You're supposed to be very good at figures, John, but you're getting a bit confused lately.
Anyway, let me
digits.
I think Eamon is well worthy of the wonderful tribute you're paying him tonight, and I hope that you have an absolutely great night, and Eamon being the fun person he is, I think that you will, and I hope that before the programme ends, that you will hear his wonderful soprano voice.
He's promised us that. John, enjoy your night.
And thank you, Richard.
And thank you for joining us.
Thanks again, John.
Thank you for joining us, John. Just before we go for another snippet from somebody else, for Terrace Talk, on behalf of the South Kerry Board, I wish to extend best wishes to Eamon and a happy retirement. We will always remember him as a talented and extremely fair journalist. And it goes on, and it comes from Christy O'Connor, on behalf of the South Kerry Board, Eamon. That comes from him. Now, another girl you worked with in the Kerry Mill for many years, she's gone now, she's gone to the Kerry's Eye, she jumped ship, was Breda Joy.
Oh, Breda.
I was talking to Breda at your door, and this is what Breda had to say.
I've lots and lots of memories of Eamon Wishy. I suppose as a professional, he was a great man in the office, and whereas I'm not really sport, I knew the calibre of his writing, because occasionally Eamon would write some bit of prose, a general article, and I could see his marvellous command of English. He was really good. But Eamon always put us I would say, young reporters to shame, because back then, over 15 years ago, I was a young reporter. But Eamon was and still is a real party man. And we'd go out in the night and we'd all be falling away by degrees, and Eamon would be there till the last. And he's a beautiful singing voice, which maybe everybody else has mentioned as well. But when the party'd really get going, then Eamon would sing. And one of our favourites anyway we'd always call for was Girls Were Made to Love and Kiss. And just one funny memory I can remember was one late night. Brian Looney was the editor at the time, and he had a house up in Shanachillan, Tralee. And there was, among the three of us left in the early hours anyway, there was Deirdre Walsh, myself and Eamon. And for whatever reason, Deirdre had this vanity case with her that night. So we were heading down from Shanachillan maybe at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and Eamon, being the gentleman to the fingertips, was carrying Deirdre's vanity case. It was such a picture. But Eamon was always very considerate, and in journalism, you know, you think that people have to be brusque and tough and, you know, all the time, but yeah. Eamon wasn't like that. He could get his story and get it well and still be very, you know, considerate to people and that.
Eamon, great joy there. How did you find out travelling around to matches and how were you treated generally going into dressing rooms and meeting county board officials, and how did you all through those years now? How did you find that side of your work?
I must say I rarely encountered anything other than great courtesy at Kerry County Board level, and, you know, from the teams and the various managers, including Paddy as of the present time for his duration, and prior to him, Ogie and Mickey Sullivan, and then Mick O'Dwyer, of course, whose reign was quite an extended one, and he was a superman to get along with and talk to and get a little bit of information, which was vital as regards time factors and deadlines. And I must say Paddy O'Shea is equally outstanding in that respect. And then before that you have Johnny Colletti, of course, and Jackie Lyon. They were all great. Granted, now occasionally you would come up against the odd stumbling block, but by and large I was always made very welcome as regards Kerry. It wouldn't apply so much in other counties, because except so occasionally you would go to the other dressing room, because the emphasis with the Kerry man would be on the Kerry side of things. But I can say, by and large, you'd meet the odd official, maybe, who might be a little bit brusque. Or in my early years, I remember down in Kenmare, I was reporting a match for the Kerry man, and I went to get in on the sideline, and this rather brusque man said, "You can't come in here." And I said, "I'm reporting the match for the Kerry man." "I don't give a damn." He said, "You're not coming in." Actually, he was a famous Kerry footballer in his day too, but that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, of course, your face and your writings are well known all over the world with the Kerry men, and you'll be writing on all the big matches. But come down local now, and how did you enjoy going to North Kerry, South Kerry, East Kerry? What about down, we'd say, at the bottom, where you get the real feel for Kerry football?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that side of Kerry football.
But that was always a unique part of the job, you know. It mightn't happen too often, but I always look forward enormously to being asked to cover North Kerry final, which I did. This one gone out now. And South Kerry, I was at a few, and East Kerry, West Kerry, quite a few of them back there. But you'd meet the local people that you know only too well, and they couldn't do enough to make you welcome and facilitate you. And the rapport you'd strike up with them was everlasting, you know, and I still have a lot of great friends, and I hope they'll know who I mean when in the different levels of the county.
Well, Eamon, you have a lot of great friends in all the district boards, because they've been all on to us, and the West Kerry board, the Mid Kerry board, now John Twist and the Mid Kerry board said, "Dear Rishi, on behalf of the Mid Kerry district board, I would like to congratulate Eamon and to thank him for the service he provided. We always look forward to reading Eamon, and we always look forward to having him back around Mid Kerry. Thanks for everything you did." And from the West Kerry board, wishing you, Eamon, a long and happy retirement. You were one of the best in the business. Good wishes from all in the West. And that comes from Paddy Brown. So they are not forgetting you. We're going for a short break. 0667123666. Lots to talk about when we come back.
I suppose really when I came to Galway first, came to Kerry first, Rishi, from Galway, I suppose the face and the name of the Kerry men would always have been Eamon Horan, and people who knew the Kerry men in Galway would always have said, "Oh, we'll meet Eamon Horan." And from the minute I got down here, meeting taxi drivers, people on the street, it was always Eamon Horan. and he was always the face. He'd always open the sports section and his face would be there to the front, and he'd be there and he'd be looking out and writing reams and reams of excellent stuff on football mainly. I suppose as I got to know the real man, my first memory of the Kerry man actually, when I started in October 99, I would have sat at John Barry's desk. He was on holidays for a few weeks and sitting opposite Eamon, and I learned as much in those first 3 weeks that I have since on Kerry football from Eamon, and he's fantastic, a bank of knowledge on Kerry football and a real gentleman, as people have said time and time again tonight.
What do you like about his writings, Eamon?
I think when you're reading match reports, I mean, you want to, usually when the paper comes out it's 3 or 4 days after the match and you don't want to get this score by score, and you don't want to get this kind of thing that you're going to see in the telly and hear on the radio. You want the more knowledge and the wise words and people who can analyse the game. And his analysis of the game is something that can really hasn't been matched, I think, in provincial journalism and sport, as far as I've seen in recent years anyway. The fact that he can read the game so well and something he has done over the years, and even looking in the archives of the Kerryman, he's always done it so splendidly over the years and read the game and called it as he sees it, always honestly and never putting anybody down, but always being fair to both teams when he's been reporting.
That's Eamor Connolly, one of your former colleagues. I suppose one of the youngest, is she?
Absolutely, Eamor. A Galway lady, and delightful both in her manner of speech and even more so in her writing. And she's an absolute fanatic on sport, and in particular on Gaelic football and hurling. And of course, in a short time, the Kerry man has been great banter vis-a-vis Kerry Galway rivalry. And you can imagine what it was like last year when it came to the All Ireland.
Well, I mean, we're going to the comment line again because you've been involved in Kerry football since the 50s. Well, we're going to a man now who's been involved in a huge part in Kerry football, Gerald McKenna. Gerald, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Reece.
Nice to have you. Well, what have you to say about this man here, my friend?
First of all, Eamon, how are you keeping?
Hi, Jonathan. Nice to speak to you again.
And it's always good to
As
speak
ever.
To you. There are a few like you.
It's
nice to speak to gentlemen.
I'm awaiting a few words of wisdom.
Well, I was just going to open there, Eamon. I don't know who's in your company there at the moment. Are there any station masters there?
That's just the one I was waiting for.
But no station masters, we seen.
Yes, Donald.
Well, what are you telling me?
Oh, yes.
Go on away with you, yeah.
Down below in the Imperial Hotel one night, it was a great place for meeting people, and you had some great characters coming in there. And the late Dick McElligott and the late Joe Grace were there. And, well, various things were being discussed. And Dick Mac, that great horseman, said in the course of what he was saying, we can't all be station masters. And Joe Grace disagreed with him and says, no, it is, we all can't be station, we all can't be station masters.
Yeah.
And a fierce argument cropped up as to which one was the other. You'd swear Third World War was about. So I remember they came over to me and I said, well, both of you, I said, I'd accept as being correct. But why don't we solve it by saying all of us can't be station masters?
That's so diplomatic, John, probably.
John was there that particular night. But I recall a trip to London with Eamon. Tom Moriarty was there. It was a wit tournament. And I saw Eamon putting an Englishman, an English businessman in his place very, very quickly. Eamon tendered an Irish note, and this English businessman didn't want to cash it because he called it foreign currency. Oh, great God, the man didn't know what he was doing. Eamon reminded him of his obligations under the EEC and the Treaty of Rome. There were personal obligations, social obligations, political obligations, moral obligations, ethical obligations, a few more obligations torn in for good measure. The poor man, at the end of it, I'm afraid it was like Napoleon at Waterloo. He had to retreat with heavy losses, and he cashed Eamon's currency anyway.
Joel, was there one more? Did somebody tell me he visited a pub somewhere in Cork, and he's singing?
That was the same evening.
Well, wasn't
no,
taken too light.
The same evening, but when we were coming back.
Yeah?
We decided that we would call into a hostelry for a kind of a farewell drink. It was a very good weekend. And the late Andy Mulnog, rest his soul, I remember, was with me, and we went into a pub not too far from the Western Road coming out, and it was a lovely pub. I don't like to mention the names of these places. Anyway, we went. Tom Moriarty was there the same evening now, and a big crowd of us, and there was a big crowd in the bar. So we decided that it was time for Eamon to sing. And we were reminded that, that there was no singing in this pub. So, well, Kerry ingenuity was being put to the test. We came outside the door. And Eamon started to sing. And up on the bonnet of a car he went. And everybody that was in that bar came outside the door to listen to Eamon. With girls were made to love and kiss. Now the pub would be fairly close to the banks of the Lee, and there's a line in that song.
Get up the banks, Joe.
Yeah, where the maid with her lover, the young daisies, pressed the banks of my own lovely Lee. That the daisies that evening, I'd say, were dancing to the musical voice of Eamon Horne. The publican came out when all the crowd were outside.
Yeah.
He decided that discretion was the better part of valor, and he called us back in and left us sing inside.
Well done, Joel. Joel, before we let you go, because we could talk to you all night.
Well,
come here.
I want to pay a personal tribute.
Yeah, yeah. Sum up for Eamon for us.
I dealt with Eamon.
Yeah.
Eamon was gracious. He was erudite. And the one thing that I always had, he never offended, I think there was somebody, I think the bomber that said it there earlier, he never offended anybody in his writings. Or if he did, it certainly wasn't intentionally. But he had a great respect, and this is where I admired him. He had a great respect for language. He had a great respect for the usage of language. And he disagreed with the abusage of language. I think he told a colleague of his in the Kerryman one time that he thought the colon was part of his backside. So, and I, funny thing about it, knowing the man, I think he was correct. But he had that, not alone did he report things, he reported them in language that was literary. For that, I always admired him. He was, as was pointed out, he was a true Kerry man. He was a great sportsman himself. It was in his veins. It was in his blood. It coursed along his heart, and it passed even into his purer mind.
Well,
Eamon, it has been my privilege to have been a friend of yours. And by the way, don't worry about the superannuated or pension thing. Old soldiers never die.
May I say, Ger?
And please fade away.
May I say, Ger, I'll miss your magnificent contributions at county board meetings and conventions, which you contributed enormously and fantastically down the years. Legendary, actually. But I'm sure you'll be continuing.
Enjoy yourself tonight.
Thanks, Ger.
Thank you, Joel.
Have a little tipple for me.
I will do that, Ger.
Okay, Swim.
My best,
and Joel, before you go, remind that man in our Kerry that Dr. Eamon was not 25 when he trained the Kerry team in 55.
Well, I have done that already. I did that straight away, as I told you.
Thanks, Donald.
Okay, so we should.
Thanks for joining us.
Donald
McKinnon has been a great legend in Kerry football himself, hasn't he?
He's absolutely outstanding, as an administrator, apart from being a fabulous person to know and to meet down the years. But his contribution, like to the J.N. Kerry, has been colossal. And he has brought a kind of a grandeur to those occasions, like county board meetings, county conventions, and I'm sure, I know, at Congress and all that, and in his time as chairman of the county board, I mean, he did a fantastic job as well.
You might do one favour for me now that you're retired. I'm doing all I can to get him into Terrestock. We'll pull a few strings and try to get him
Joel
in.
Joel McKenna,
you do that.
Well,
anyway,
we'll do the best we can.
You do that, we leave that to you now. No, we're going, listen to this, I got up. Michelle Cooper Gallivan, that ace photographer. Listen to what Michelle had to say there when I caught up with her.
Oh yes, indeed. I've known Eamon since 1980, since I came back to Kerry, and
He was pure gentleman, number one. And his writing is something else, you know. There isn't a reporter in the country that could match him, you know. He's accurate, as Deirdre said there. But he's a friend to a lot of players too, you know. Even you see the likes of the minors and the 21s coming on. And even when a new lad comes on the scene in the panel, in the seniors panel now in Kerry, he's a good friend to them. He's able to interview them, and obviously a lot of times he'll be the first one to interview them and congratulate them on coming onto the panel, and he'd know their qualities and he'd speak about their qualities. And you know, I think that was one of his major things, really, you know.
Our great friend Michelle Cooper Gallivan, photographer. Eamon, you worked in the Kerry men, you worked with likes of Tom Dwyer, the late Tom O'Dwyer, and a lot of more people, a lot of photographers and everything.
Oh God, yeah. Actually, the first photographer I worked with when I joined the Kerry men was the late, great Harry McMonagle, a very fine, dear friend of mine. And that was a wonderful experience to have, because not only was Harry a fantastic photographer, like all his family, such as the late Donald, who died quite recently, and the late Louis, and others, but he had a great gift of words as well, and Harry's caption writing was unique, because it isn't a forte with most photographers that I know, caption writing, but Harry had prose at his fingertips, but he just captured what he had on camera. He actually captured it in a caption, which is a great attribute to have, but he was a very personal friend of mine. And you mentioned a man there, Tom O'Dwyer, who was a senior reporter in the Kerry men when I joined it back in the late 50s. Tom and the late Michael Gallivan were two pillars of the old Kerry men. Journalistically, they were standard bearers, you know. They covered mostly courts and councils. They were short-term note-takers. I'd say they were the likes of them in the country. But Tom would occasionally be pressed into urgent action to cover a match, you know, if we were running shots on hands. And I can remember one particular occasion when he was asked to cover a county championship game, and he was a little bit reluctant, Tom, but it turned out that Stranraer, Cairns O'Reillys, were involved, and I can't remember the team they were playing, and of course Tom was actually a Stranraer man as such himself. He lived out beyond Stranraer proper.
Like yourself?
Yes, absolutely. But in the course of Tom's report in the match, But Tom would cover a match against his better wishes, and without he actually knowing it, we slipped in the byline into the article, you know. So the article appeared, but in the course of it anyway, Stranraer actually lost, I think, in a tight, gripping game. And Tom put it down, he had a phrase to the effect. He said that some of the Stranraer men, he said, had bellies to mend, which of course meant like that they were not in perfect physical shape or condition. Jeez, he was nearly dragged off his bicycle going home on the Friday night.
We're going for short break. Thanks for the God, we're here till 7:30 tonight, because great, we won't get through half it. 0667123666. If you want to thank Eamon Horan for what he has been writing over the last 100 years, stay with us and tell us talk.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quills Menswear Killarney, Kenmare and Patrick Street, Cork.
The simplest way of putting Eamon Horan is that he's a legend in sports journalism in Kerry and beyond, all over Ireland. Really, I'd say everyone knows Eamon, from Padraig O'Brien above at the Sun. All these people know him. His time in the Irish press. He's just a legend. Like you just can't replace a man like that, you know.
John, outside of that, he's a unique kind of a person, isn't he?
He's a unique character, Eamon. Like, you know, he might thank me for saying this, but he comes in at a different time of the day to most people, you know. But the thing is with Eamon, no matter what time he comes in, he's probably one of the last people to leave then at night, like when everyone else has gone home, you know, at 6 o'clock or whatever. Eamon could still be there at 10 or 11 o'clock at night. I remember even on his last week, he was doing a couple of previews of county championship games on a Thursday, which was usually our quietest day of the week. And Eamon didn't leave the place till 10 or 11 that night. You know, it summed up the man himself. Like, he's just such a great character as well, you know. The way he'd walk into a room, like, it would immediately command respect. And, like, as you know, Weech, to yourself, he's not a tall man, he's not a big man, but whenever he'd walk into a room, instantly everyone just had that respect for the man, you know. No one could ever say a bad word towards him.
John, you've been an up-and-coming young journalist now, reading Eamon Horan and studying him. How would you describe his style of journalism?
I was trying to figure that out today because I was trying to write in a piece for, you know, his little tabloid there, and it's very hard to say. It's just that he has a unique command of English. I would say definitely that he has the best vocabulary of English of anyone in the Kerryman. He just has a great knowledge of words and the way to utilize words in the proper way. The thing what he could do, he could make any county league game or even, you know, South Kerry championship game or something, he could make it interesting, even if it was the worst game that people had seen in a long time. He had this great knack of just making it, making his report fly out to the people so that they felt they were there.
Yeah, that was John Dowd, of course, there, one of your colleagues, Eamon, and another young up-and-coming reporter. And
if I may say, John is one of the great young talents to come on the scene in the last few years, and I think the Kerryman has definitely been very fortunate to get a young guy with his class and talent, because he's unique in my book in the modern day young sporting journalist, because his knowledge of all branches of sport, not alone Gaelic football and hurling and soccer, you name it, golf, rugby, any sport, horse racing, John is interested in that, and he can write so easily, and he has his own special way of putting it over, but he has a personality to match it, which is great.
Just before going to the comment, like Eamon, there's tributes pouring in. Joe McGilligan says he'll miss picking you up when he's gone to work, and the Stranraer will give you a big send-off when they win the county championship. Paddy Fitzmaurice of Ballyduff, and also chairman of the Kerry Boxing Board, rang to tell Eamon, to thank Eamon and to enjoy his retirement, and thanks for all your help and support over the years, Eamon. That's from the Ballyduff Boxing Club. From the Kerry Athletic Board, best of luck to Eamon in his retirement. Thank you for all the coverage you gave athletics in your column over the years. Thank you from the Kerry Athletic Board. Andrew Sheehan of Knocknagree. He won the title of All-Ireland's Strongest Man in the county last Saturday. And, of course, this includes the North and South. Well done there, Andrew. Well done there. We'll talk about the young sportsman of Kerry later, Eamon. All the best, Eamon, from John Kelly, Sport GA, and the Killarney Regatta Committee. You were always a great friend of the Regatta, Eamon.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you were. All the best to Eamon from Pat Murphy and family and all the Castle Island Road Walking Club. Eamon is a true gentleman. And the best to Eamon on his retirement from Michael Doyle, Killarney Race Company, and all. Of course, you're always a great racer, man. But, Eamon, I was talking to you one time, and you mentioned to me, we were talking about the great journalist that you retired from. You said to me, your favourite, one of your favourites, was Paddy Downey, the Irish Times.
Oh, yeah. Paddy Downey, yeah.
Well, don't say anything wrong about him, because he's listening to you. Paddy Downey, you're welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Izzy. Thank you very much indeed.
Now, my friend, what have you to say about your great friend here?
I'm pleased and thanks for asking me to wish Eamon every good luck in his retirement. We were very good friends over the years. We know each other, I'm sure, I can't put it a year on it, but back in the early 60s, and worked together many times in many venues. Principally, of course, Killarney and Tralee, Porky Keeve and Cork and Croke Park many, many times. It was always a privilege. He was a great, great colleague and a great companion. So I wish him very well in his retirement. Of course, I could imagine that he won't give up his art altogether, that he will continue in some capacity in the future.
Thank you, Paddy. That's very kind of you.
Eamon was one of the great Gaelic Games correspondents, and his knowledge of football, deep knowledge of football, and he could express it with his facility with words in his analysis of the game, in his writing and his reports. He was privileged, of course, himself to be writing at the height of his power at a period which arguably was Kerry's greatest. The 75 to 86 era, because other times. But on the other side, Kerry supporters and many others were privileged to have Eamon writing and commenting on the game for them. He was a great journalist. And I wish him a very healthy and happy retirement.
Thank you, Paddy.
Thank you again, Paddy, for your kind words. I look forward to meeting you in the foreseeable future, hopefully in Croke Park.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, Paddy.
Thank you, Wishy. I'm glad to have said hello to him and to wish him well.
And come here, Paddy Downey, before we let you go, much loved and carried, that invitation to Terrace Talk still stands.
Thank you, Wishy.
And Eamon's tape will be coming on to you shortly. All right, Paddy.
Thank you very much indeed, and good luck to Eamon again.
Thank you. Nice
Eamon, the next time we meet, I must ask you to sing a song. I never had the privilege of hearing you sing.
Well,
aren't you lucky, Paddy?
Thank you, Paddy.
You have a great voice.
Paddy Downey, dear.
God bless you, Paddy. Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Was one of the great reporters, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. Actually, personally, I always looked forward to a Monday morning after any of the games, you know, big games, to read Paddy Downey first and foremost, because he was a master of the art of writing. And his knowledge of Gaelic games was superb, I'd say, on a par with anybody of any era, I'd imagine. And that would go for another great former colleague of mine from the Irish Press days, the late Padraig Purcell. And knowing that man was a unique experience too in my career, and definitely helped to mould my outlook on the whole structure of writing on games, and because their background into the players of every county, it was spellbinding to be listening to them. And Paddy Purcell was a great raconteur. Paddy could be writing he'd be writing a piece of copy and he'd be talking to you at the same time. How he did it, I don't know. It's not an easy thing to do, but Paddy was gifted. And so was Paddy Downey, of course. And I could mention a lot about the people in that context. He died only quite recently, actually. Val Dorgan of the Examiner, when it was the Cork Examiner. Val used to be reporting matches when I was starting out. And, you know, that was the era of just the typewriter back in an office and that. But Val used to have his typewriter with him at the matches, and he'd actually start typing up his reports sitting on the sideline, which was him, but he was a brilliant writer on the games. And then, of course, Con Holohan, another great, famous man and a legend, living legend. Con can write on anything, as we all know, but even though sport is something that made him more popular in the national eyes than anything. When he wrote his column Three Nights a Week in the Evening Press, the readership of the Evening Press, was sky high. And I know people, Dublin people, and fellows who, if they went home after a day's work and didn't bring the Evening Press on a Monday, Wednesday and Friday with them, there'd be bad news with the banity.
Yeah, in your years now in journalism, Jay, you've seen fierce changes in the game itself from the 50s, the catch and kick, up along to the Mick Dwyer era, up along now to Paddy's era, and the changes, the red and yellow cards, and there's a longer half-time, and the time of the match has been extended to faster. Talk about all that side of it.
Yeah, I suppose, like, even back in the 40s now, when I'd be reading about the games, but it's claimed like that the great Antrim team that played Kerry in the All-Ireland semi-final in 1946, I think that they were the team that introduced the hand pass and the solo run, and Kevin Armstrong was a great exponent of it. But then along came the Down team, the famous Down team, 60-61, that era. But the Northern teams specialised then in the short passing game, and Dublin, of course, who were master craftsmen always. But they adapted the game to best suit themselves. And when they played Kerry then in the 70s, they applied the hand pass was the thing, and it was very dubious at times. Was it a with the fist or was it not? And even the other evening, I was talking to a chap, actually Miles Cronin, Tralee man, and he was harking back to all that and claiming, of course, that it wasn't Gaelic football at all, which I would be inclined to agree with him. Because it's hard to beat the original catch and kick, even though it's probably regarded as very old-fashioned now. But I thought a great compliment to the catch and kick was was it the Munster final in Killarney three years ago? The great ball that Liam O'Flaherty kicked out of the fence and just straight down to Maurice Fitzgerald. I'd say a 70-yard kick, and Maurice Fitz buried it in the net. So there were only two people kicked the ball, and it finished in the net. Usually today you see about 10 passes.
You would, yeah. Eamon, we could be going on and on talking about it. We're going for a little quick break now. First of all, before the best to Eamon. Eamon, you were the greatest master at the sport. I ask you, do not retire. And this comes from Sean O'Shea, St. Brendan's Patrick Lee. Don't retire, he says. All the best, Eamon, from George Deneen. Enjoy your retirement, Eamon, from Sean Wynne. They grew up together and they walk greyhounds together. We were a bit of a greyhound man. The very best to Eamon from Dennis Cronin. And all the best from Tom O'Donoghue and all the Guinea Gwilla GA Club. Great GA man, Tom O'Donoghue. The best to Eamon from Dinis Sheehy, Abbey Dorney, XNUJ. We're a great NUJ man, of course. See you tomorrow. The best to Eamon from Joe Wallace Outfert. Don't stay away from the matches, as you were a great reporter of all games. And Willie Connor of the PRO, the Kerry County Board, he sends in a lovely tribute, and he just says, on behalf of everybody in the Kerry Board, I would like to be associated in wishing Eamon Horan a very happy retirement after his many years of great service as a sports journalist with the Kerry Men. We're going for a short break. When we come back, we'll be having a short little chat with Seamus O'Mahony, who has just joined us, 0667123666. Stay with us on Telestock.
He's a very good friend, but he's also a great idol of mine, because I'm a fierce GAA woman, as you well know, Weeshie. And at one point I held aspirations towards being a sports supporter, and Eamon was a great source of encouragement to me over the years. He's a man who loves Gaelic football like myself, and loves Kerry, loves his county. And we've had many great nights over many pints, as we said, talking about football. And you know, if I was to share all the stories I have about Eamon, I'd be here for many, many's the long night.
But he's a special person, Deirdre. What did you learn?